Bring your bow.
Yeah.
Okay. Hi, my name's Sarah, and welcome to Careers Cocktails. Today we're joined by Emma. Thank you for joining us, Emma.
Hello, thank you for having me.
So my first question would be, who are you and what do you do?
So I'm Emma Marlett, and I work with Optimizing IT, which are a B Corporation certified IT and cybersecurity company. And I'm also involved with Exist, which is a STEM branch of Exeter Chamber. And I'm also up to a few things, other things as well.
Okay, that's good. Good. Another very important question. What is your favourite cocktail?
Oh, I think this is a hard one to answer. I think it would have to be a Negroni.
Oh, I don't think I've heard of that one.
Yeah, we'll have to try them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's in the Negroni?
You're testing me now. I think it's Prosecco.
Okay.
Some of this. Yeah.
Okay, sounds good to me. Okay, Emma, back to career side. Why did you choose the industry that you're in? Or did your industry choose you?
I don't really know what chose which, but I fell in love with sales and marketing when I was doing my business scholarship at uni. So I studied animal science, and then my business scholarship was for students who were not studying a business degree, but were entrepreneurial and interested in developing their own business. So I learned all about how to develop a business from the beginning, and then learned more and more about sales and marketing, fell in love with that. And then I did an internship through my university.
Okay.
With a lovely person called Charlie, and she does sales and marketing consultancy for people and businesses. And that's where I really learned more about marketing for businesses and connecting sales and marketing together, and also personal branding.
Okay.
And then I went to London in the summer and spent 2 weeks with Oliver Agency.
Yeah.
I spent time with their planning team and absolutely fell in love with strategic marketing.
Okay, and what about London? Did you fall in love with London or not so much?
I did fall in love with London, but I was going through a thought process at that time where I had just graduated. Yeah. And I was thinking about going to London to do the typical moving to London, getting a grad scheme or grad job and building my career there. But I absolutely love living in Exeter and in Devon. And a lot of my friends had said, Exeter isn't the place to start your career. So they have all moved away from Exeter, but I really, really didn't want to move away. I wanted to find a way to build my career in a place that I love living in.
Yeah.
So I growing up in Exmouth and Devon and Exeter, I knew that there were so many changes that needed to happen. Having gone and lived in Nottingham and had access to other, I guess, networks and opportunities in Nottingham and London.
Yeah.
I recognised that there was a lot that needs to change in Exeter. So I just figured that if there is change that needs to happen to make it a place that people build their careers, no one else, like, people are making that change, but I would just have to be one of those people that takes part in making that change.
No, definitely. And considering you are still at a young, really young age, compared to me, what would you, I know you said about your degree, but is this something you saw yourself doing at maybe the age of 16, or is have you completely changed at your ideal time of 16 when you're going for the careers advice at school? Have you completely changed, or is this something you've always wanted to do?
I didn't know that sales in itself was a career option. And Caitlin, who I worked with over the summer as an SDR, she has also said the same thing, where in college, we're not told that sales is an option. And I always knew that I liked marketing, but I never saw that as something which I would do, because I think I was looking, I didn't know what I wanted to do in my career, but I did A-levels for 3 months and I was doing sociology, English literature and law, and I just thought, this isn't exactly what I want to do. And I was poorly for a while through when I was at post 16. So gave me some time to have a think, and I ended up missing so many lessons. I had to leave and I'd have to retake the year.
Yeah.
So I had a year off, and I took that opportunity to work out what I wanted to do. And I thought that it was actually to do with, I wanted to work with animals,
yes,
in the animal industry. Yeah. So I then sought out work experience for myself in all different types of careers within the animal industry. And that helped me decide what I wanted to do a bit more. So I spent, I went, and then I decided to go to Hartbury.
Right.
So I went to Hartbury College to do animal management.
Yeah.
That's what I thought my career would be. And I spent time at Paignton Zoo with the mammal department.
Yeah.
I spent time lambing on a sheep farm.
Oh, okay.
I spent time at Cats Protection. I did a huge range of stuff with animals, and I thought that's what I wanted to do. And then I had my car accident.
Yeah.
That put a complete stop to everything with my career, and that's then when I was, I got access to some mentoring, and through that mentoring, that helped me to apply to go to university, and then I looked at going into conservation.
Okay.
And
so
then,
a bit of a change now.
Yeah, huge, like, small change. And then I decided to do animal science at Nottingham. So that's then when I went to Nottingham. It was when I then found my business scholarship, which is called the Sir Andrew Whitty Entrepreneurial Business Scholarship,
okay,
within the business school at Nottingham. So that's funded by Sir Andrew Whitty. And he left some money for students, and he was CEO at GSK.
Okay.
So that's where I developed my business idea, because we had to apply to the scholarship with a business idea.
Right.
Yeah. So it was
so an introduction
that
to your business side
that I started to look into sales and marketing. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So what are the best bits about your job at present?
It sounds really cliche, but for me, at the moment, I love everything about my job and my job role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think sometimes that is the biggest battle, is actually loving your job and loving what you do. It's not a chore then.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the main thing I'd say that I love is the being able to apply strategic business strategy and strategic marketing to change consumer and client behaviour to do better for people and the planet.
Yeah. Okay. What advice would you give to somebody who's just starting out with their career or transitioning?
Oh, okay. What, just one thing?
Any advice, whether it's a couple bits or just one thing or one.
I would say, go with what you want to do and not what society thinks that you should do. And if there's something that you want to do and you feel passionate about doing it, don't let other people tell you that you can't. So maybe just because you don't have the experience or the qualifications, it doesn't mean that you can't do that.
Yeah.
You can learn whilst you do that as well. And even now, sometimes I still get the imposter syndrome where I don't feel like I'm qualified or good enough to be doing what I'm doing, but I realise that you just learn.
Yes.
As you do it.
You do.
Yeah.
I need to go. Sorry.
I'm really going to have to cut that one.
I'm trying not to cough.
Right.
Are we going to pause it? Are we able to pause there?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Audio's still going, but we are cutting this out.
Oh, okay. You're all right, love. I was going to...
Because I tried not to cough as well.
Yeah,
so
yeah, it makes it worse. Yeah.
Have you got a bit of a cough at the moment?
It's my medication, but I'm coming off my medication.
Right.
Side effect of my medication is a dry cough. So I'm kind of coming off the medication. But once I try and suppress it, it makes it 10 times worse. Sorry. Right, well, transitioning.
I think I have a bit more I can say for that.
Okay.
I need to think of how to say it though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, and I think the other thing I would say, especially for people transitioning jobs or finding their career, is to not let anything that they think would hold them back to hold them back. So I am technically disabled and I'm also neurodiverse from my brain injury. And I think I always thought that that would mean that I couldn't do certain things or have a certain career. But I've now realised if you find the right people and the people support you, that it's fine and you can do that still. So I think I was always waiting until I felt ready or I had recovered more. But actually, it's when you believe that you're ready, not when you will be
and
ready.
I think that's probably quite apt for everyday life. I mean, I know you're going through a lot, but for anybody really, and a lot of people struggle with the mental side of things, thinking, I'm not ready, I'm not good enough yet, I need to do this, or I need this qualification, or I need that. And a lot of it is the self-belief side in business, as well as life in general, I think. So that's really good advice.
Yeah, and I think, you know, reach out to people and just message them on LinkedIn or go up to them and ask them if they'll mentor you or if you could do work experience there for a week, because the worst thing they can say is no, and they'll most likely give you contact details for someone else who can help you. And that's what I've realised as well, is people do want to help people.
Yes.
Yeah.
They do. Okay, so we'll mix it up a little bit. What is the funniest thing you've seen in the office environment? Have you seen anything funny or witnessed anything?
I don't know.
Nothing that's standing out that's...
I think because I've not really spent that much time actually in an office environment.
Right.
Because when I was doing a lot of the work experience and internships before, that was like within the animal industry. So that would normally be like at the zoo or in a vet surgery.
Yes.
It's only this year that I've been in an office environment. Yeah, I don't think I've actually...
Nothing that comes. That's fine. I just thought it's... some people have some funny stories of what happens in the office, so...
Yeah, there's a fair few that...
I'm not allowed to disclose those ones.
Yeah.
Okay, so, is there any conspiracy theories that you believe in?
No, I don't think so. The only one, this isn't, like, my take on conspiracy theory, but it would be that... women aren't good leaders or would be good leaders within business. I would almost say it's almost like a conspiracy theory because it's like so many people believe that.
Yes.
It feels like almost having to break through, almost like a conspiracy theory sometimes.
And I think that's hard as well, because I think a lot of women don't actually feel that they're good enough to be the leaders as well. I think sometimes women can get put into a pigeonhole of you're not good enough, and you've been told that so many times they actually believe it, then that they're not good enough. And you are right in that there is a lot of male dominance still in the world of business. Okay, so if you had the world's attention for 30 seconds, what would you like to say to the world?
So there was something which I shared when I spoke in London, and I had some women come up to me afterwards and they said that it resonated with them. So I think that is the thing that I would say.
Okay.
So that is, when I'm struggling with imposter syndrome, I have a saying that I say to myself in my head, which is, do it for her. And for me, that means it's me when I was in hospital or me when I was not able to leave the house 5 years ago. But for some people, it could be that her is like your best friend or your sister or your mum or someone that you know that doesn't have the opportunities or the accessibility to do something that you can do.
Yeah.
So if you're struggling with that imposter syndrome and not feeling good enough or not knowing if you can do something, tell yourself, do it for her or do it for him or do it for them. And then I find that push it, that gives me that extra, like, okay, if I'm not doing it for me because I don't feel good enough, I'll do it for them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Gives you something else to focus on.
That boost.
Yeah, no, definitely. Okay, so if you could interview a famous person, who would it be and why? Anybody, dead or alive? Is there anybody who inspires you? Any, maybe your mentor, or is there a famous person that has achieved something that you?
Trying to think.
Or just somebody general, doesn't have to be a famous person. Anybody who's achieved something maybe you're aspiring to or
active? There's lots of people that I would like to interview. I think Grace Beverly is one which I would I'd love to interview. I think that she's done a lot of really clever things, and the way that she's also using her business and her brand strategy and marketing to push for sustainability.
Yeah.
And the way that she's done that is so clever. I'd love to work out, like, yeah.
Pick the brains.
Yes, yeah.
Definitely. Okay, and our employable special question. If you could have any superpower, what would it be?
I quite like to fly. Yeah.
That seems to be a popular one. Flying is quite popular.
Yeah.
Well, there's the transporting and flying, there's the whole debate of those two.
Yeah, or maybe to be able to teleport anywhere that I want to be. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be very useful.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's it. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
That was really good. Yeah. Thank you. That was one of our